it's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you ready?
Yes!
Now live from the Whiskey 61 Lounge inside the Bank Plus Studio.
You are listening to
Mississippi's number one sports talk show, The Out of Bounds Show with Bo Bounds.
Streaming worldwide live on the Out of Bounds radio app and on your radio
at ESPN 105.9. The Soul.
Well, Keith Carter can do what he wants. That's what we do know. Because he hired Lane Kiffin. And Ole Miss is winning in football. That's my take on Mike Bianco. That's going to cost you millions and millions. If you want to fire Mike Bianco and the assistants and then bring in a new coach on payroll and more new assistants. That's millions and millions and millions of dollars. In a sport that, yes, we all love. Well, most of us. But look, y'all packed the stadiums in both spots. And so does Southern Miss. And we have other programs in the state that are really, really good. We've talked about Delta State for years. But the bottom line is Keith Carter has, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 job security. We are the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone. Brought to you by the 10-ounce filet, Kessler Prime and the Renaissance, KesslerPrime.com to make a reservation. ESPN 105.9 The Zone. I am your host, Bo Bounds.
Yes, sir.
Don't forget.
It is not super hard to get to Omaha.
We're live in the Bank Plus studio, and I've got Jackson Meadows with me. You can hit us up on the Ag Up Equipment text line, 601-885-3776. 601-885-3776.
I would say getting to Omaha is its equivalent maybe to a Sweet 16 in basketball. Maybe a shotgun fire. Maybe a round of 32.
Maybe a round of 32. Mississippi State nor Ole Miss have been to the round of 32 in over 15 years. All right. So, I'm just saying.
I would say getting to Omaha is its equivalent maybe to a Sweet 16 in basketball. Maybe a shotgun fire. Maybe a round of 32.
So, Ole Miss has been to two Omaha trips in 50 years. So, I don't know. I don't know what we need to do here.
It is not super hard to get to Omaha.
Now, everything's on the line. Everything's on the table for the Mississippi State Bulldogs the next couple of weeks. You've got Arkansas this week in Fayetteville. You host Missouri, and then you're going, for the first time in 2 years, you're going to Hoover to the SEC baseball tournament. You're actually going, and you'll be playing in it. And we'll see what they need to do there. We don't know. We don't know what they need to do there yet. We have to see what they're going to do this weekend in Arkansas. One, avoid a sweep. Love one. If you get two, you're partying in the streets on Sunday. Seriously. And then don't forget that next week, all the series are Thursday, Friday, Saturday. You with me? Because they move them up because the teams that need to go to Hoover. So you play Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the last weekend every year. And then if you're one of the teams, everybody goes but two. If you're one of the 12 teams that goes, you go to Hoover. And, you know, you go party and see what happens. Do you need one? Remember the year that Mississippi State won it? They didn't need any. Two in barbecue. Went home. Lamonis gave them a couple days off. The message boards went crazy, right? The keyboard cowboys were going nuts, and they went and won the national championship. So you just don't ever know. This is a all games are fickle and weird, right? We're watching the NBA playoffs. Crazy. But, man, baseball's weird. Weird, fickle, fun, great game. One that most of us love. Most everybody played at some point. Little League, coach pitch, you know, select, travel, all-star, you know, whatever. 6, 8, 10, 12 years old. And some of you played all the way through. So is it going to be fun?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you damn right.
It's going to be fun the next couple of weeks. I don't know what's going to play. Mississippi State has a good team. Are they super good? I don't know. But they have a good team, and they're dangerous, man. When you got guys like Dakota Jordan and Marshawn and Hunter Hines, you can they haven't been a team like this, you know, always. They can be down 7-3 and all of a sudden be up. Now, I understand it's pitching. I know the Justin Parker thing. We've talked about the magical deal and the MVP of the team, and that's Justin Parker and the pitching. But you do have a way when you lose your way on the mound to, you know, hit your way back in with Connor Hysack and those guys. Marshawn is so much fun to watch. He has become a crowd favorite. Dakota and Hunter can launch baseballs. Connor has some power too and is really coming around. He is a well-rounded player. You're going to need him. Don't you kind of get the feeling he's the guy? I know Mershon's up top at number two in the order. And I know how important, and you do too, the shortstop position is. But we know he's good. Connor Hysack is the guy that you kind of look at and you're like, man, that could be the difference in the lineup. Could be another guy. Could be a Bryce Chance from MRA. We'll see. But it is exciting. It's better when both teams are marching towards the postseason. It doesn't look like Ole Miss is, even though their RPI is really, really good. They're going to have to, you know, bounce back from a Murray State loss last night, 12-9 in 15 innings. They didn't want to be out there. I mean, they're SEC baseball players. And Murray State was a World Series. Fighting and clawing every pitch. They wanted it bad, and they got it. Look, you're not going to win every non-conference game. Florida doesn't. Vanderbilt doesn't. Ole Miss, Mississippi State, LSU. You're not. But you need to win the overwhelming majority of them. And when you're not winning on the weekends, this gets magnified. When you're not winning on the weekends, when you lose a game like this. Has Bianco been great? Of course he has for Ole Miss. Is he a Hall of Famer? Will he be a legend on campus? Will the national championship team be recognized for? Yes. Has he been a wonderful ambassador for the university? I said this before. Let's go all the way back. Schaefer hired him. Pete Boone came back. Ross Bjork was hired. And now you got Keith Carter. They never had to go to bed and worry about Mike Bianco. They didn't. Embarrassing the university, embarrassing the town or anything. Because Mike's got his stuff together. Both on and off the field. So he's been an outstanding ambassador for the University of Mississippi and Ole Miss. But we're also to the point where, you know, he's making almost $2 million. And his assistants are making several hundred thousand apiece. And people want to win. And those tickets are expensive. So I understand both sides. I'm getting a lot on the text line. that how dare you, you know, how in the world could we fire Mike Bianco? Well, I can promise you it is being considered. Okay? Whether you, and you can disagree and you have that right. And then I have texts on here that are way done and they're ready to move on. Somebody did just text, send me to the moon. You got the fever. The Golden Moon Casino Sportsbook and Lounge. Yes, it is fun. The sportsbook, the golf course, Philip M's, Mom and M's. They got a lot going on. The poker, the blackjack, the slots, all brought to you by Pearl River Resort. Plus all, you know, they're celebrating their 30th anniversary. Isn't that awesome? Kudos to Chief Martin for having the vision. Pearl River Resort, Golden Moon Casino Sportsbook and Lounge. I highly recommend Philip M's, man. That new chef that's been balling the last couple years, he's awesome. Young, hip, cool. And he's got it going on. Roasted oysters. Of course, the steaks are good. The saffron chowder. You would love some saffron chowder, Jackson. We got to take you up. We got to figure out who can run the board, though, while you're up there with me.
What is the saffron chowder?
Hey, we're flipping the quarter coming up next. See who wins that Kona thing on the camera. Okay? Go to YouTube, search Out of Bounds Sports. The Mississippi State College of Business and Dean Scott Grawl would love to host high school students for a tour this spring or summer. With over 2 million in scholarships available next year, and as the top research institution in Mississippi, now is the time to visit the MSU School of Business. Check out the new Supply Chain and Logistics Management program today. business.msstate.edu. Ready? All right. Good morning. Welcome in. I have now moved from the studio set to the bar area. And I'm going to, well, we are the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone, brought to you by Superior Foundation. For all your foundation repairs, superior.ms. Call Todd Sandridge and Trey Pace and or if you have foundation issues, superior.ms. I'm now behind the bar. I've got on a Saints pullover. This is for Blake, since he hates the Saints. And he's been a Cowboys fan for a long time, and they haven't done anything. He missed the three titles in the 90s. Tough. But Jackson likes my pullover. Jackson's kind of a Who Dat fan.
Yeah, no, there's no.
Are you gung ho Saints?
Yeah, I mean, I'm black and gold. There's no way around that.
Are you really?
Yeah, man.
Why? Because of Breeze?
The blood.
The blood. the French Quarter warehouse district blood.
That's correct.
The hurricanes that are served at Pato's.
Listen,
you're that guy that still drinks those, right? Most people grow out of that at 22.
No. Everyone has a hand grenade when they walk on.
Grenade from what's that place?
A Tropical Isle. There's like two of them. They just smash them all the time. They're great. I mean, you have to start the day with one.
A hand grenade.
You got to start the day with one.
Those things are terrible.
They are so bad.
I mean, hurricanes are terrible.
I mean, after you told
me. I mean, you have to grow out of those by... really 20, but 21, 22.
Well, you're not supposed to drink them too.
I mean, it's just a hangover in a glass.
It is. It's literally nothing but sugar at the bottom. It is. And we talked about it years ago. And after that, I started to realize it every time I would drink one. I was like, I can't admit it. He's right. But it is sugar.
It's sugar, man.
It's sugar water and whatever the heck else they put in there. which I'm good with.
Speaking of.
Love a little sugar water.
Got my coconut water.
That is not sugar water. Mm. A little different. Mm.
Good. Good, good. We are the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone. And we had the Out of Bounds Bracket Challenge. We should have done this about a month ago, but we didn't. We just wanted the anticipation to build.
That's right.
We had two people win it, and one of the prizes, I'll go get it, is the Kona Big Wave Liquid Aloha Cooler. And so, oh, man.
Liquid Aloha.
Liquid Aloha.
Like that.
Liquid Aloha. All right, so you can see it on the camera if you go to YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
And search Out of Bounds Sports. This is what we're, is it in the camera?
It is. Looks okay. Good.
All right, this is what we're flipping for between Jared and Shane. We wish them both the best. I'm still going to hook up whoever doesn't win this. So there are no losers.
No.
There are only winners when you win the Out of Bounds Bracket Challenge. Fair enough?
That's just is what it is.
All right. So go to YouTube, search Out of Bounds Sports, and you can see me flip this quarter. And Jared is going to be heads, and Shane is going to be tails.
I like it.
Yeah. So Shane's got the tails, and Jared's got the heads. And whoever wins it gets the big Kona. See, we have Kona Big Wave. Golden Ale
nice.
Tap, and it's really, really good.
That's a sharp-looking tap deal they got there. What are those things called?
Yeah, let me take a picture of that, and I'll tweet it out.
There we go.
Tap handles?
Is that a tap handle? That's just as simple as that, tap handle?
Tap handles, baby. Fan. Look at that. Isn't that beautiful?
It's real pretty.
Beautiful. All right, just took a picture of that. Watch on YouTube, search Out of Bounds Sports. If any of y'all know Jared or Shane, I don't know their last names, but I've got them on emails. They're in the running now for this awesome, awesome Kona Big Wave Liquid Aloha.
Liquid Cooler. Aloha. I love that.
That's, I know. Isn't this blue? Stuff.
Yeah,
a nice blue, it Jackson? Is.
You know, I love
it blue. It reminds you of the beach.
It is. No, it's a beach blue.
You know, it reminds you of going to Orange Beach, Destin, 30A, or Hawaii, which is where Kona is out of. Liquid Aloha.
That thing is nice. It's huge.
It's a big cooler. It's a 40 quart.
Pop that thing.
Oh, it's a Grizzly.
Pop or open?
Huh?
I wonder, what does it have? I mean, I'm sure it's got like all these.
Yeah.
It's got a little rack in there or something.
It does.
I was going.
Oh, it's got Kona Big Wave hats.
Oh, how about that?
Stella golf shirt. Peter Millar.
Dang.
That's nice.
Well, hold on now.
What is this?
I think I put that in there after I went.
Oh,
shopping.
These are sliding feet. Okay. That, here, I'll open it.
What's a sliding feet? Oh, for the
you know,
like,
you put
furniture?
Them under there so that you can okay. Not hurt the
I'm with you.
The floor. That's not something you'd think
no.
of.
Scratch it up and get it, you know, we'll handle it later.
All right, what do we have here? Go to YouTube, search Out of Bounds Sports. We're flipping the quarter for Jared and Shane. Both of them tied for the Out of Bounds Bracket Challenge when UConn won it.
First off, congrats, because, wow, yeah.
What?
They nailed it. They were in the top 96, 97%.
They were unbelievable.
That's incredible. After I mean, I know mine was pretty bad.
Oh, mine was terrible.
Yeah, I know.
I was out the first day. I picked Auburn to
next
go
year.
Shoot.
Next year, man. Next year.
Bruce Pearl let me go.
Yeah, Bruce.
Bruce let me down. All right, here we go. Are you ready?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right. Make sure we're good here.
Oh, yeah.
Patron.
Love it.
It's a really sharp bar mat.
It is.
All right, let's do this again so that everybody knows it's fair. Jared is heads.
Jared's heads.
This is on camera.
Oh, yeah, we're all the way.
Shane is tails.
Jared's heads, Shane's tails.
Okay, here we go. And there's still going to be a winner because we'll find something super awesome for whoever doesn't win this.
Do you flip it out? Okay, all right, here we go.
You ready?
Yep.
Five. Four, three, two, one. Oh, man.
Is it on the side?
Tails.
Tails.
Yep. Tails for Shane.
Shane wins it.
So Shane is the winner of the Kona.
That's big time.
Cooler. And Jared, We're still going to hook you up. Y'all both still get nights at the Golden Moon. I don't know if both of you play golf. Gift certificates and all sorts of things. So let's give them a round of applause. And our cooler looks better because we've got more beer in it. I still need some more. But congratulations to Shane for winning the Kona Big Wave Liquid Aloha Cooler. Jared, we're going to find something awesome for you, too. I mean, you still get a bunch of stuff. And don't you feel good about that?
Yeah. First of all, I didn't know that that cooler was like a Wonder Ball. You pop it open, you don't know what's in it.
I know.
And what happened there?
I know. I got to...
Been holding out.
Well, I got to see what size the Stella Artois... That looks Peter like Millar shirt is.
Looks like
oh, it's a medium.
Oh, that's all you.
That's me.
That's all you.
Usually I can wear a medium. Sometimes I can wear a small large.
What now?
Actually.
A schlarge?
Yeah, a schlarge.
Schlarge.
But this looks cool, Stella.
I like that.
Love it. All right.
Well, we nailed it out.
Nailed it. Steve Palazzolo coming up next. And he'll join us on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. We're going to talk NFL football, Gardner Minshew, Dak Prescott, Steve Palazzolo coming up next on the Out of Bounds Show, driven by your next Ford F-150 truck, Ford Expedition, or Ford Explorer from Mack Hike Ford, I-55 North in Jackson. Let me put on these shades if I've got time. I got like 20 seconds. Mack Hike Ford, I-55 North in Jackson. Are these shades cool? Shout out to Jack Bourgeois, who dropped off some Key City shades. I do need to take this sticker off. But we'll be back in a minute. Steve Palazzolo, NFL Insider, on Minshew and Dak.
I have to tell you about this game-changing product I use before a night out with drinks. It's called Z-Biotics. Let's face it. After a night out with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. And I have to make a choice. I can either have a great night or a great next day. And that is until I found Z-Biotics. Every time I have a Z-Biotics before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even after a night out, I can confidently plan on hosting this show and being awesome without worry. Look, I won't lie. I was a bit on the fence about Z-Biotics initially, but then while hanging out with friends over cocktails, I gave it a shot. And believe me, it is the real deal. Go to zbiotics.com/OOB to get 15% off your first order when you use OOB at checkout. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/OOB and use the code OOB at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, Zbiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bulldog Nation knows that Starkville is Mississippi's college town, but it is also a history town, an arts and music town, a shopping and dining town, an outdoor adventure town. Come to town for a great SEC football game and stay for the Starkville experience. Whether it's an SEC game day or you're celebrating a weekend with MSU classmates, enjoy Starkville, Mississippi's college town, year-round. It's time to try something new in Starkville.
All right, our NFL coverage this morning is brought to you by Stella. Stella Artois, great beer. Cooking some burgers or steak on the grill tonight. Grab you a six-pack of Stella Artois at any of the Fleetway markets in Mississippi, over 20 of them. Great selection of beer. And they definitely have Stella Artois. Fleetway Markets. There's the Market Cafe in Glugstadt, the brand new one in Clinton, 24/7. Over 20 Fleetway Markets. And many of them have the Market Cafe, including the one in Glugstadt, who has, they have great food, breakfast and lunch. We are the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone. I'm your host, Bo Bounds. We welcome in Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. He joins us on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. How were the Cincinnati Reds games?
The couple I went to were good, beat up on the lowly Angels, but my Reds are slowing down now, last few weeks.
So. Oh, man.
Games were fun when I was there, though.
Good. Good.
Yeah. I got a few more to go to. I have a kids pack for all four kids. So I have one game to go to with each of my four boys.
Okay. Do you take them all or one at a time? How do you do that?
One at a time. It's actually a really good deal. It's like $30. Get a backpack, bobblehead, couple tickets. And so I got one for each kid. And so they'll pick which game they want to go to here. So we still have to do those throughout the rest of the year.
Okay. All right. How's your oldest?
He's 8.
Okay. So you have four boys under 8 years, 8 and under, right?
That's correct. Yes.
Okay.
It's nonstop battle royal at all times at my house.
I cannot imagine how much energy and how rambunctious they are. I mean, I know they're fun, but yeah. I also, you know, I have a girl and a boy. Now they're in college, so I'm done with the stage you're in. But just one boy, just because they're 150 miles per hour right when they wake up. Is that all four, or do you have one that's chill, Steve?
No, I mean, it's tough to tell because there's always somebody that's you know, high energy or active. So it's just as a collective, yeah, they're getting after it for most of the day.
I love it. Oh, Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus on the Farm Bureau Insurance Guest Line. All right, we were talking Gardner Minshew and the Las Vegas Raiders. This could be his opportunity to really shine this year. Most everybody feels like they'll move on to something else, unfortunately, because around here, Minshew is a legend, a dude. But they have some serious firepower at the skill position. Now that they grabbed Brock Bowers, and they already had who they have, and Davante Adams and several others, where would you rank the Raiders' skill group, Steve?
Man, it's pretty high up there. I mean, if Davante Adams, I'm just looking through his contract right now, I think he's probably still going to be here, but they might want to get out of the contract either after 24, either after this season, maybe at some point this season. But if Davante Adams is still there, I think he's still legit. I mean, we're talking about a top five type of unit, I think, because Adams is still a true one. They just brought in Michael Gallup, and I know, you know, you're a Cowboys guy, and Gallup didn't look as good the last year and a half. But a solid three now with Jacoby Myers, who's a good wide receiver too. And then you mentioned Brock Bowers coming into the mix. And I still like Michael Mayer, who they got right at the top of the second round last year. Michael Mayer can be more of your traditional tight end. Bauer is more of your move guy, your big slot. So I think they've got an excellent group of pass catchers. I think the offensive line should be good enough. And, I like what the Raiders have. Now, for Minshew, it's a matter of competing with Aiden O'Connell, who did some nice things last year. And from a Raiders perspective, the question is, okay, are they actually still wanting to see what they have in Aiden O'Connell, who's in year two as a fourth rounder, or do they want to give it to Minshew, who, you know, led a playoff team or near playoff team last year with the Colts. So either way, it's definitely I'd say a top five group of pass catchers there.
Wow. How about that for our listeners? I mean, we'll see who starts. I'm going with Minshew, but
of course.
they have a talented group of tight ends and wide receivers. And if Minshew, which I believe he will, come out as the starter, then they could have some fun in Vegas on the offensive side of the football. All right, where would you rank Dak Prescott's group of skill players, Steve?
Man, I mean, they were top five for a while. I think that's slowly dwindling. I think they still have to be in the top 15, though, because of what CeeDee Lamb brings to the table. Now, a couple of years ago, when it was CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper and a healthy Michael Gallup and Dalton Schultz, it's definitely taken a step back from there. And I think this is why you're so uncomfortable as a Dak and Dallas fan here, is because it's CeeDee Lamb, you have Brandon Cooks, who's, you know, getting a little bit older, coming off probably his worst overall season. He did have had spurts where he looked good, but Cooks had been incredibly consistent, kind of took a step back last year. Who's the wide receiver three? You know, it's Jalen Tolbert battling, you know, Kevontae Turpin and Racy McMath. I don't know if there's a late addition to add there, but Lion Flournoy that they brought, you know, drafted, is a lot of competition for wide receiver three for Dallas, and it's not as attractive as it's been in previous years. I like the tight ends, Jake Ferguson and Luke Schoonmaker. I think, you know, Ferguson showed he's pretty athletic and could replace Dalton Schultz fine. So I think you've got a top three that's solid, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Cooks, and Jake Ferguson, but you'd like to add a little bit more firepower to that group. And then if you get into the running backs, you're talking bringing Zeke back. At this point in his career, I don't know. That's fixing the run game with Tony Pollard out of here. So I definitely think it's a little bit worse than last year, but still probably top 15 because you've got one of the few true number one wide receivers in the NFL in CeeDee Lamb.
I would rather one of their top two receivers be bigger. Look, CeeDee's phenomenal. And Brandon Cooks is, I think, in the NFL pretty good. He's better than solid, and he's not good for what receivers are today, but he's pretty good. How do you see that as far as having a little more length and girth and a little bit bigger target in one of your top two guys, Steve?
It depends on who the guys are. I mean, normally I'm all for building a basketball team, basically, right? You like to have a power forward type. You like to have a smaller, quicker shooting guard type. You know, you like to have different styles because I do think it challenges defenses differently. So, yeah, I think they could absolutely use some size. I think Dak showed how well he throws up the seam last year. They threw that seam route so many times last year, especially in the red zone. I think Ferguson at tight end showed that he could do that. But having a big slot or, a bigger receiver like what Keon Coleman looks like he could have been coming out of Florida State that, you know, Buffalo selected, that type of big-bodied receiver to, stretch the middle of the field a little bit more, I could buy that. For me, though, it's just adding depth and talent. Just give me more guys that are difficult to cover for the defense. And, again, I don't know that Dallas has enough of those guys to take the pressure off CeeDee Lamb because he'll be getting all of the attention next year for sure.
So if they're top 15, they would be in the more of the 13, 14, 15 range, this group collectively?
Yeah, I think so. Probably the bottom end of that, where in past years I would put them in the top five. I mean, I know we're talking pass catchers. I'm interested in the offensive line, though, too, because you've got new center, figure out who wins the battle there, Brock Hoffman, Cooper Beebe in the third round that they drafted, who was a guard at Kansas State, and then Tyler Guyton, the left tackle out of Oklahoma. I think he needs more work than any other first-round pick as far as transitioning from college to the NFL. And if they're expecting Guyton to step in at left tackle, I mean, he's really talented. I just don't think he's there yet from a technique standpoint, just from a consistency standpoint. If they want Guyton to protect the blind side in year one, I feel like that's a big ask. So does that put Tyler Smith back out to left tackle? They've got some questions on the offensive line as well that I think still need to be sorted before camp.
Okay. Who would you have drafted?
Am I making you feel bad?
I already understand that you can't win in this uber crazy competitive league with a part-time GM who's a trust fund baby, who's interested in many, many. I mean, they've got a guy who tracks him. And if you tracked him and the other GMs that you and I talk about, they're in their office working on their team. He's not. So I already know that, look, I'd love for Dak to end up in, with the Broncos or the Buccaneers or the Steelers or even possibly the Dolphins. I don't know what's going to happen down there with Tua. And there's some other spots. But, somebody, I think Mosher mentioned the Raiders. although that's going to make some people here mad because Minshew's so awesome. But yeah, I mean, I'd love to see. I have no affinity for Dallas. I just like Dak, and you know, I understand that Stevens a fraud as a GM. We're visiting with Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, PFF.com, NFL Insider. He joins us on the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. Who would you have drafted, Steve, if you were at Dallas in that spot? Because I like your kind of approach. Who's the best on the board? Tyler Guyton, you feel like he needs some more seasoning, some more development, when a lot of times you want to go get a guy who is ready the second week in September to go. Who would you have drafted had you been the Cowboys GM?
Yeah, so my style is a little different because I would hopefully not get into the draft needing a left tackle and needing a center, as Dallas did. So let's just assume I made a few better moves there.
Right.
Because I look, I'll give you the quick history on Dallas. I feel like every time they draft a non-need, it works out way better. Right. When they needed a corner in 2021, they needed a corner, had to get a corner, and two corners went off the board right ahead of their pick, J.C. Horn and Patrick Surtain. And then they had to settle for Micah Parsons. They had to settle for Micah, right? It wasn't a need. They didn't get the need. They got the best player, Micah Parsons. And the previous year, they drafted C.D. Lamb at 17, when I don't think they needed a receiver, right? On paper, they had Amari Cooper. They had Michael Gallup, and they still got C.D. Lamb. Those picks work out better over time when you do that. I think when they draft their needs and they say, okay, we need a run-stopping nose tackle, let's go get Mozzie Smith in the first round. We need a move tight end. Let's get Loon Schoonmaker, you know, in the second round. I feel like those are the picks that come back to bite, and you just hurt your depth over time. So Dallas needs a tackle and a center, but I would still take, like, the guy that went right after, Nate Wiggins, the corner from Clemson, I think was a better prospect. I really liked Ladd McConkey, the receiver that went to the Chargers a few picks later, early in the second round. You know, Johnny Newton from Illinois. Again, I don't know if that's too redundant because they've got they've got defensive tackles there. But I thought Johnny Newton was if you keep taking the best player, and I think those are probably the best players on the board. I think Cooper Dijon, I think Kool-Aid McKinstry. I thought those guys are the best players on the board. I thought Jackson Powers Johnson is a better prospect than Tyler Guyton and probably could have stepped in and handled center. And then you could kick Tyler Smith out to left tackle. So I think staying true to the quote unquote best player. And again, Dallas is going to tell you, yeah, that was the best player on our board. I just didn't see it.
It wasn't.
I don't see. No, I mean, in Guyton's production, look, I mean, you can project tackles to the next level using PFF, you know, production. There's ways to do it. Guyton just doesn't project well using the data. So that's all I'm saying. Keep drafting the best players available. So I would go this other route, probably 5-6. I mean, there's a lot of prospects that would take it over Guyton because he was probably my least favorite first-round pick. Not that he can't get there. I just don't want to be the team that has to develop Guyton and try to get the most out of him.
Right, because you don't have time in the NFL, as you know, Steve. I mean, you live this and breathe this. You don't. I mean, these guys have to come ready to go, especially when you lose the guys that they did in the offseason, right?
Yeah, and I would encourage, I don't know how every NFL building works, but I would encourage the NFL to just really, Guyton could be great. I mean, I watched him up close to the Senior Bowl, and there are some reps where he looks unbelievable. But there are some reps where he looks like, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing, or he just gets whooped pretty quick. So I'm just saying, you get the guy for 5 years. Do you want to spend 2 years or 2.5 or 3 years trying to get him to be more consistent where it might not even get there? Or do you want to take someone that, you know, projects better? That you know, historically, you look at what has been successful, and you lean into that. And that I wouldn't be the team to take Guyton. And if he becomes a Pro Bowler, I'd just say that's fine. I didn't want to be the team to have to do that.
Right.
So I would encourage teams to just lean into the data a little bit more and maybe pare down the draft board. Like, you don't have to rank 300 guys. You can go into it and just say, here's our target of 50 players across all the rounds, and that's who we're going to target. And I think teams will do a little bit better job of drafting if they really continue to eliminate players based off whatever the parameters are. So I'm getting down a rabbit hole, but I'm just saying, like, how would I draft? I would have a really tight draft board of the guys that I have the most confidence in, and not just draft players because that's where they're supposed to go based off the consensus.
If you had to rank the NFC power rankings today, would the Lions be number one or another team like the 49ers or Eagles, or which direction would you go, Steve?
So I still think it's the Niners. You know, I think, you know, look, Brock Purdy's going into year three. It was a rookie contract, and, you know, he could still get better, and they still have all those playmakers, and the Niners are still loaded. I think despite the collapse by the Eagles last year, roster-wise, they're right up there. And with the, you know, Kellen Moore coming in and Vic Fangio, just all the turnover from a coaching staff perspective, that should do them well. So I think the Eagles are right up there, and the Lions are right up there for sure. And then I think you have to consider the Packers, the way they finished. I mean, if, look, the NFL is about consistency and not just putting 10 to 12 weeks together. And Jordan Love put, let's say, since Thanksgiving, from Thanksgiving through the, you know, second round of the playoffs, Jordan Love looked unbelievable. However, the NFL is about adjustments and continuing to be able to do that. It's not just showing what you're capable of. You have to be able to do it year over year, handle adjustments. But if Jordan Love can do that, the Packers have to be up in that mix. And that pushes the Cowboys down just a little bit more, right? Maybe to the fifth best team in the NFC. And then you don't want to sleep on the Rams with what they have with Stafford and the young nucleus that they've built. It's going to be a more competitive NFC, I think, as I think teams have done a nice job of building over these last few seasons.
What Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, PFF.com. He joins us on the Out of Bounds show and the Farm Bureau Insurance guest line. Would you have the Lions ahead of the Cowboys right now in your power rankings with what they've been able to do in their youth movement and Dan Campbell?
Yeah, I would. I mean, even if you just look at this offseason, Dallas losing some key pieces and then Detroit adding to a team that was just so close to going to the Super Bowl, right? They added DJ Reader on the defensive line from the Bengals, Marcus Davenport as a flyer on the defensive line. Like, they added where they needed to add. They needed depth and they needed help for Aiden Hutchinson on the defensive line. I think they did that. The final piece of Detroit's team-building effort was probably a corner, and they spent a ton this offseason, third-round pick on Carlton Davis from the Bucs, and then their first and second-round picks in the draft to trade up with Dallas to get Terrion Arnold and the kid out of Missouri as well, Ennis Rakestra. So I think Detroit's done a fantastic job of building. You know, the question for them going forward is, how are they going to pay everybody? They're going to have to pay Goff, just paid Penei Sewell and Amon-Ra St. Brown. Aiden Hutchinson will come due at some point. So now the challenge is going to be keeping that nucleus together and staying young. But yeah, I think Detroit, despite that heartbreak in the NFC Championship, has a chance to get right back there.
Okay, who's a better defensive coordinator? Dan Quinn or Mike Zimmer, who's now the Dallas Cowboys DC, now that Dan Quinn is the head coach for the Washington Commanders?
Oh, man, that's a good one. I mean, I think it's really close. I mean, I thought Quinn was okay when he went to Atlanta. He took that Seattle scheme, and the Seattle scheme is very homogenous, we'll say, very similar, play to play to play. But Quinn really adjusted. I mean, he was blessed with Micah Parsons, but, you know, he adjusted to having Parsons and what he had on defense and the way they were able to force turnovers, which is usually not a sustainable – it's usually not sustainable, but Dallas did a great job of that. Zimmer is very good, though. I mean, he knows how to create pressure. He knows how to make QBs uncomfortable. He knows how to coach on third down. You know, he's, even in the final years in Minnesota, their third down defense was very good. There's also an element of sometimes new just works early on. So just having a, you know, a change of pace, a new coordinator with Zimmer might spark the defense. Again, I know they were good last year. It might spark them this year, though. So I think it's really, really close. I'm not a hot take artist, as you know. I'm a fence sitter. So I think they're very close. Does that answer your question? Not at all.
No, but that works.
Give me Zimmer. So you have some hope. Give me Zimmer. Because you have some hope.
Hey. They looked light on the defensive line and light at linebacker. I mean, I felt like they were playing strong safeties at linebacker last year.
Well, they were. Bartice Bell. I mean, they were part was injury. I think it was more injury than philosophy, though.
And, yeah.
You know, having Leighton Vander Esch and some of those guys go down and they were forced to. Zimmer won't. He won't allow that. He likes bigger bodied linebackers. I think they'll correct that part at least.
Okay. Who is the best? Well, I guess you're probably going to say the Chiefs. So I don't know if I should throw in outside the Chiefs, but who is the best GM head coach combo in the NFL right now?
Well, the Chiefs have certainly done well. The Ravens have done a great job with Harbaugh and DaCosta. I think the consistency that they've brought to the table. You're saying head coach and GM combo. Obviously, Howie Roseman, I think, has done a great job at GM as GM for the Eagles. I would have said Sirianni's in the mix, but, man, things really collapsed last year. Like, it was really bad down the stretch there. And Sirianni, I don't know if he's on thin ice in Philadelphia. I thought he was on his way to being, you know, one of the more consistent coaches in the NFL, but things really collapsed there. But, again, I like the way the Eagles operate overall and just how they work.
Where would you rank Stephen Jones and Mike McCarthy?
With the receiving core, middle of the pack? They're all right.
Okay, so you'd have them at somewhere around 16.
Yeah, maybe higher. Look, Dallas overall has drafted well. I don't think they manage. I think to your point, do they get into the weeds in the day-to-day well enough? Do they manage contracts? Do they future-proof the rosters? Do they anticipate 2 and 3 years out like some other teams do? Probably not as well. But they've drafted really well. They've added a ton of talent to that team for years now. And, again, McCarthy's not bad. It's just as a head coach, how many actual difference makers are there as head coaches?
What would you say? 3 to 4?
Yeah, like a handful.
Andy Reid, newcomer, Dan Campbell, Harbaugh is proven, Sean's proven. Yeah. Go ahead. Harbaugh.
Yeah, like McVay's probably in
that Yes, mix. Yes. I think they're due for a bounce back. Because I think Stafford's still...
Both Harbaughs, we'll see what Jim does, but he's probably in that. There's only a handful, so if he's not one of those, it probably feels uncomfortable. And I don't know that McCarthy's a difference maker, but I don't think he's bad.
Right.
Either.
No, I agree. I think 16's a little high, but I'd probably go in the 18 to 25 range, but I get where you're going. All right, I hope you have a great week, and I hope you catch another Reds game, and I hope all your boys take naps at the same time. Over the weekend. Okay?
Love it. Thanks, Bo.
See you, buddy. Steve Palazzolo, Pro Football Focus, joining us on ESPN 105.9 The Zone. And it is brought to you by Rick's Pro Truck and their unbelievable selection of toolboxes. RPT, ricksprotruck.com.
For an epic guys trip, leave some room for chance. Roll the dice at a Mississippi casino. Take a swing at Topgolf. Or try your luck with some deep sea fishing. Whatever you do in Mississippi, a good time is pretty much a sure bet. Make your plans today at visitmississippi.org/guys trip. Mississippi, wanderers welcome.